Welcome to the Lesbo and the Bean universe. Lesbo and the Bean. LATB. Lat B. Where mixed martial arts and the UFC get silly. Big silly. Buckle up and move your tray tables to their upright position. And please, somebody shut that baby up. It's time for Lesbo and the Bean.
Welcome back. Episode 114. How were the fights this Saturday morning? How do you feel? What did you come about? How did the rest of your day affect after? I'm still a little brain warped. It messed up my entire sleep schedule. I slept for a good 12 hours last night.
I honestly woke up this morning rushing AF. Rushing. I thought I was late for work.
Oh, dang.
I was rushing. Because Jules is like, babe, what are you doing here? Are you off today?
Yeah.
She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, are you off? Is it Monday? I really thought it was Monday.
Because it's so used to a Saturday night card, not a Saturday morning.
Oh, I stayed up so the whole day yesterday, but I didn't feel great.
Yep.
And did I eat dinner or not? I didn't eat dinner. I snacked and we put on a movie. It wasn't a great movie and I almost subconsciously put it on to entertain my wife so I could lean back and snooze. I only slept like 45 minutes. I felt like a million bucks. And then I was up until like 3:30 a.m. Oh. And that's why I feel like when I slept, I woke up at 9:30 a.m. thought it was Monday.
Wow.
Thanks, UFC Singapore.
Thank you. So here on the East Coast, we ended up having a 4:30 a.m. showing.
And we were both up for it.
We were tweeting away, putting on some free bets as well the night before. If you follow the Bean at Zoltanite on Twitter or at Weakneck Baby.
Yeah, I don't do so much over there. If you're definitely parlaying or Bovada or FanDuelin or DraftKings, you have to follow at Zoltanite, which it'll say the Bean and it'll have a picture of a dog god.
A beautiful dog god. So, with that 4:30 a.m. showing, we had a decision start off with a short notice fight that not only did here at Lat B, we were confused, everybody else I listened to was like, had one person saying, this fight's on, the other person being like, I didn't even know this fight was on the card.
I loved it. We were going to edit it out, but I'm glad it was in there because everyone I heard breaking it down, it was like the same thing.
The same situation, same.
And some of the podcasts that I listened to didn't even know about it at all. Didn't break it down.
Totally. So we ended up figuring it out and both ended up picking Kim via decision. We said this was a stay away all day, especially DraftKings. And you saw why. This was a low ranking, slow striking event. Fabiana got beat up most of the time. 30-27 easy. I'm not going to remember it, especially at 4:30 a.m.
Honestly,
East Coast time.
I already don't remember it.
So at 125, they're both going to keep getting fights, even though Fabiana, I believe, has lost her last two. So going to look to fade Kim potentially once there's caliber fighters in there, but it's just hasn't come to fruition yet. On to the flyweights, though. We had Olga Sasaki defeating Janelle Lauza in a second round submission. This was a Sarah Longo prodigy. Sasaki's been there for two fights now and really showed with a game plan, Aljamain Sterling game plan in there. He didn't want to try to stand with Lauza at all. I thought he respected the striking right away. Lauza had the gas tank of one round at the beginning of the second, threw a good couple uppercuts. Once the takedown came, it was a matter of time. Lauza should be on his way out. He's lost three in a row. Sasaki, fun guy to watch, especially now that he's in the States training with some beasts, getting his wrestling under control. Do you remember much about this one?
I liked everything I saw about Sasaki. I'm interested in him going forward. I think there's money to be made on him because he's going to be the underdog against a lot of people, and a lot of people did not tune in for the fight card altogether. They're just looking for the highlights, and part of the shame of that, he might not make it to the highlights because of how early the fight was in the night. I thought everything about him looked amazing. His forward pressure and his fight style looked like it has adapted to show his strengths and avoid his weaknesses, which is what you hope from all the guys, but they don't always do this. And he's a grappler that I didn't ever know he was a grappler before, as long as I've been watching. I never knew that about him because I always see him standing. He would be a guy that I would, on a scale of 1 to 10 that I actually knew about, I would know like a 4. Like, I wouldn't know a lot. But just what I've seen from him inside the octagon has always been stand-up striking, and he doesn't look great there. And when you took that out of the equation in this fight, he was amazing. I was really, really impressed. I was bummed I didn't have him on more. I bet he was worth a lot of points. I bet he was worth the most points.
Yeah, I didn't have him on much as well, just because I thought Lauza would have a bit better takedown defense, but that gas tank, really, really lacking. He needs to go back to the Asian scene and just get knockouts over chumps all day. He'll make a better living, have easier fights. On to one of the bigger underdogs of the night coming through.
I hate to say it, Lauza could be a 115er for a guy.
He looked pretty massive, though. He looked muscular. He was so shredded.
I just thought he was so little.
Short, but anyway. I thought he made 4 up in size. Either way, the technique is just not there. There's too many ways to beat him, and people have seen how to beat him. Take him down. He can't stop a takedown, and it's MMA. On to other takedowns. Underdog coming through. We were split here. I had Matt Schnell. You had Inoue. I had a free bet on the decision, 3-rounder plus 370 as a prop bet for Schnell. I thought he won 2 of those rounds decidedly. Inoue has a crisp jab, but just again, no power, really did most of his issues on the ground. And I feel like, just like the Bean was calling it here, if that Schnell would dictate where this fight goes, and he would be able to win, and that just because Inoue hasn't had the caliber fighter of a true UFC level, and Schnell has. Schnell is UFC level. Yeah. Inoue is too.
I believe that we both said it was going to go down to a decision, yep. And the only reason I went with Inoue was the hometown advantage.
And it was close.
I could have seen it. That was it. I really thought, I agree with you. Schnell, he did what he had to do in there. In my opinion,
against a power striker, though, as you were saying before as well with Schnell, against somebody with heavier hands, which I knew Inoue wouldn't have, it's something you're gonna have to watch out for, Schnell. But I like both of them.
Judges, though, non-biased. I really agreed with a lot of the stuff they said, whether or not the people online did whatever. We'll get to those fights when we get to them, but I thought they did a good job judging.
So with the judges, though, little lappy conspiracy here. Anyways, Japanese fighter, Snell is American, so they're like, we don't give a shit about either of these guys.
That very well could be.
They were in the Philippines, so.
Take the empire somewhere else.
Perhaps. Yeah. On to, though, we had a strawweight bout with Yokaksa Yan versus Viviana Pereira in a decision. I thought we had a winner chicken dinner in Pereira, if you saw the ref raise the hand at the end of the fight.
Oh my gosh. Hashtag asshat hat society.
This ended up being a what? 29-28 split skitties?
I feel like I have to apologize. This is so... Did Tatiana Suarez fight on this card at all?
Nope.
And I don't know why at all. And because I didn't look at any photos, and maybe that's my own. For some reason, I was thinking of Tatiana Suarez, and I really hyped her in my brain.
Who, Viviana Pereira?
Yeah.
She lost to Suarez's decision.
I know, and for some reason, I think both women fought to Tatiana Suarez, yes. And I mentioned it, and for some reason in my brain, all the accolades and thoughts I started having about Tatiana Suarez, I put on Pereira. And now looking back at it, like the second she walked out, I'm like, that's not who I thought it was going to be. It's stupid, but I wouldn't have been so faithful in her. And I put her places thinking she was Tatiana Suarez. Like, I put her on my cards.
She did some mental magic on you.
It was like I was Westworld and I could only see what wouldn't harm me.
Well, I still like the pit bull aspect of Pereira. I saw everything that I was breaking down here with her is she's not the most advanced striker, but she can kind of get you in that Gadelia and Draws just push forward. But we saw Yan adapt to this, and I really liked the creativity I saw in Yan. I really didn't give her as much credit. I thought Pereira was going to be a much tougher opponent than she was, and Yan really showed her adaptability in there. Though I hated the lack of takedowns, I do think Yan might be a little bit more susceptible against a Suarez, somebody with actually good fundamental takedowns, where Pereira just kind of bulldogged forward through punches and grabbed you. So going forward, Pereira, super tentative. Yan, she's in the plus column. Definitely a solid test she got through.
If Yan, best thing that could happen to her, in my opinion, I would love to see her get to the States or Brazil or one of the countries that, Russia even, I don't give a shit what she wants to do, but go to some camp that really is ground-centric, because I really liked everything I saw of her on the feet.
I can't remember if Yan was at
Winklejohn. This fight got a lot of hate, and I didn't think it should have.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decision, but it was, I thought
every single fighter, in my opinion, in Singapore came to the Octagon to work. And also, we were both talking about it, Betwise or DraftKings, or neither of us were heavy in the card, and it was really fun just as a fight fan to sit back and not be biased and not have a like emotion on who wins or not, to really look at each fight and just enjoy it for what it was. That's what I felt about UFC Singapore. Like, I wasn't invested in either side like I usually am. I could be non-biased and watch.
As you were saying though, the fighters had a great pace about them. There was there wasn't any, even the decisions. There was a lot of finishes over the night or over the morning, but people came out to get it done, and it was awesome. I thought it was a great showing.
Yeah, I hope ESPN Plus takes that from the Fight Pass, is the Fight Pass pacing over all the other bullshit.
Loved the pacing of it.
Yes, love it.
Until we got to the main event, then they started to drag it onto that hat. Regardless, they were giving us just regurgitated material.
Between the co-main and the main, we got a lot.
We got a little delay, but what didn't delay at all was Jake Matthews running right through Shinzo Anzai in a submission, round number 1, 3:44. We saw Matthews' size just completely take over immediately. Anzai couldn't handle any of the power. Matthews, again, I think he's going to go to 85 before his career. He's that big of a boy.
Here's something that, another Lat B conspiracy. Always put money on Jake Matthews overseas. Be really tentative once he comes back to the States. I think the testing's going to be different, everyone. I don't know what their contracts are, but we're just starting to see, like, certain people always... Well, he is from Australia. He is kind of local.
Yeah, somewhat.
And Australia has some stringent testing over there.
He had his hips shaved at 19 years old.
Could that be from wrestling at such a young age?
It could be, but it also likely is. There is HGH growth hormone that specifically affects hips, brow, and elbow.
I know that too, but also couldn't your brow... I'm just being devil's advocate because I don't want to think this about my girl, the preacher's daughter. Could that happen from getting hit in the head?
Yes, scar tissue.
Just build up your brow, make it look Cro-Magnon-esque.
Well, with scar tissue, there is, but that's also why you cut easier. But that's why some guys like the Diaz brothers get plastic surgery.
But you know I'm skeptical, Hippo. I am more on your page than not. I'm just saying it for all the people screaming at the radio out there that are huge Jake Matthews. Because I like everything I saw from him.
Of course.
But, okay, another can for all intents and purposes.
I like Anzai. I think Anzai grinds out a lot of people, but... He was...
Is he 157 years old?
He's like 36 years old. But he's Japanese. They have a very unique testing as well in Japan. So he's got some good doctors on his side as well. And he looked it. He was good. He just looked so undersized to Jake Matthews.
Is he a tweener?
Yeah, I think he's a 165 or 100%. 100%. Can't wait till those get implemented. But... Where do you go with Anzai? I think he grinds out a lot of other guys at the 170, but they have to be smaller. Matthews, definitely on the way up, especially out of the
country.
What
is Matthews at now? What is the ranking for Matthews?
Because
it's time for a bigger opponent.
Definitely. I agree, especially with a finish. Did he call somebody out? There was a few call-outs over the weekend. Can't think anything that was absolutely amazing other than the main event. We'll get there.
I had to keep friggin' lightning in my pants. Like, every time I got too comfortable, I'm like, woo! Gotta get back up. Gotta pace around the house. So a lot of the in-between call-outs I did not hear.
I can't remember. It must be that morning fog.
He probably called out Sam Alvey. I'm just kidding.
At 170. No, he didn't.
He didn't. But Sam just calls out everyone. I did see a funny question on Twitter that said, who grabs the mic, does it make you cringe the worst? They were saying the Jessica Eye thing, and they were like saying, who of people, when you watch them grab the mic, you're like, oh no.
Put it down.
No. Like, where you just get cringy.
Perry at times. Anytime Perry's about to be on the mic, I'm like, oh, please don't be bad. Please don't be bad. Don't say the M word.
Yoel. Don't say anything about gay people. Don't say it. Don't say anything about Jesus being gay. I know that's not what you meant to say, but it sounded weird.
Which he's refrained from any of that now. I think he definitely learned his lesson.
He just talked about loving Michael Bisping.
I love you. Also loving, we had Kyung Song defeating Hector Aldana in a TKO round number 2 with one of the most gruesome injuries that I have seen in a very long time that was allowed to keep going on. It was allowed to keep fighting, and Hector Aldana's eye split underneath the eyelid in half, where you could see the bottom of his eye coming out through the lid. Do you remember?
It was so weird, like a fingernail or something.
Yeah, like a thumbnail sliced it. Ugh. They showed where the cut happened, and it was brutal. Hector Aldana, tough as fucking nails. Tough as nails. Because I would have been like, all right, I'm out. Like, I'm done. I don't want to fight anymore. My eye might fall out of its socket right now. I wonder how they stitched that. Do they use tape on the outside?
They didn't give a shit about eyes falling out of socket, because we'll get to the cowboy fight later. The Aldana injury was nothing once you got to the cowboy fight.
So either way, Aldana, though,
if that would have happened in New York, though, that fight would have been stopped.
Before they got in the ring, they would have still had it. So with Song, I think Aldana definitely low enough caliber that I like Song where he's evolving to. Somewhat of a test, maybe. I'm iffy on him. He looked good against somebody who doesn't deserve to be in the UFC, who showed his toughness but got hurt, got outstruck a lot of the time in Aldana and was weak. Had one good takedown, but eventually lost it.
If Song, I feel the exact same way. And Yadong Song, because wasn't there two songs?
There was Yadong Song.
Yadong Song, I feel the same way as I do about Yan. You got it. A lot of these guys, you got to get to the ground. You got to get to a ground specialty. Yep. They have great stand-up. Everything's there. Their timing, even their setups to get the guy to move so they can hit him. Everything's there. They really need to work on the ground games and the takedowns. And you were talking about their level changes and how it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of them were using very, very bad wrestling fundamentals where they were bending at the waist and grabbing the hips. And that's a really easy takedown to defend because the defending person doesn't have to change their level. Where if you just lower your hips at the waist and you use leverage and then you can lock up underneath the thighs instead of over at the hips, changes the entire game. But those little steps do matter. On to a fun showing, though. We've seen a guy really evolve from getting defeated against Volkanovski to winning in a TKO round number 2. Shane Young coming in with all sorts of dirtiness, using that dirty boxing, beautiful elbows on both sides against Rolando D, or Die, however you want to pronounce it. But this was a fight of the night contender in my eyes. Both of these guys came to scrap, and D just got picked apart eventually. That pressure that Young showed, I liked, but it's in that Justin Gaethje-esque style where against a big puncher, it's not going to work out. Which Dai is a big puncher, but someone who can keep their wits about them a bit better, they're going to put you on your butt. Because Young ate some shots at times and I was like, ooh, man, just calm down. Like, calm down. You can finish him. And
a little bit of patience on top of that. Like, if you just gave Justin Gaethje just a tenth of friggin', you know, like a Stipe Miocic's patience, the whole game would be so different. And he has all the skill set of that. And that's kind of how I'm worried about Shane Young going forward, for sure. He just needs a little bit of patience. He almost has well-rounded skill set. I like everything I saw from him. It just is a bit aggressive.
Agreed. So it's against those guys. Be tentative on him, but I like it a lot. D, where does he go from here? How far do you feel like he goes? On the Asian cards, he can beat up locals.
Yeah, we'll see him again, especially on some of these cards.
And then
Shane, I think it's time. I think he gets a bit... What weight class is it?
That's at 145 pounds, the flyweights themselves.
He needs a big guy, a big name of an ailing guy, like a guy that's getting older that he can kind of take the name.
A gatekeeper.
He has to fight in Brazil next.
Ooh.
It has to be a Brazilian card against a Brazilian. He's
Alameda. Aggressive enough. Alameda, 145?
Huh.
Thomas Alameda. We haven't seen him for a bit. Forward pressure. That's a banger
that's
right
a big
there.
Name.
That's a banger. That's a big enough name.
Yeah, it's a big enough name. It's an older guy, I think, on a Brazilian card because he's aggressive and they'll love that. They'll follow him. They'll have a whole bunch of fans. I like it. If he goes against a guy with some decent ground like that, it gives him that kind of respect for us to look for him in this top echelon of guys. I don't know. Okay.
Then we had Yadong Song defeating Felipe Arantes via TKO round number 2. Really, with Yadong Song, that alpha male training camp, this young man looks like all sorts of bruiser. Arantes really got shown that he's got a little bit of quit in him. And when someone puts tons of pressure on him, he wilts. Other people were highlighting that. I thought that he was going to be able to use that ground defense to really put a working on Yadong Song. But you saw those alpha male elbows and punches from the inside.
Yadong Song Garbrandt?
What? He
looks he look very
Garbrandt-esque?
I thought his boxing was crisp. His body looked good. His cardio looked great. He had a crazy amount of pressure into that second round.
Was
still there. He had great takedown defense.
I
like everything I saw.
I like your dong song.
I like your dong. Let me see your dong. Song.
So, where we go with Arantes? Arantes
could
still
be...
Yeah,
like a truck. Truck. Take us like what? What? Put you on your butt. But. All night long. Dong song. You guys can take that. You can take it and run with it. Make a little cartoon with a little Cisco skipping down the beach.
You're welcome, Internet. You're welcome. Arantes, I think he can beat a lot of guys at 135 as well, but Yadong Song definitely looks like a brand new prospect in that 135
division. Alpha Male's camp's getting really intriguing to me.
They're changing
it. Yeah, I like their prospects that they have bubbling up in there.
I like the new
guys they got coming up in there.
On to the bantamweights, though. We stayed at the bantamweights.
Faber is everywhere because I did notice on his Instagram page, him and his wife were on vacation over in Singapore for this whole thing.
We saw him.
So he's not only supportive of his guys, so you know he's putting in good meetings, and he's also still meeting fans. He's still out there. He's putting in all the work to make the notoriety of Alpha Male get that much bigger. I love what he's doing. And you were saying they have Asian alpha males, right? They have camps over
there. In Tokyo, they do as well. And Uriah Faber's a little entrepreneur. Do not think he's not trying to
Why
meet people out
there.
Why can't he
be a big entrepreneur?
You got to be 5'8".
Yeah, you got to be at least 5'8".
I'm bullshitting. So, at the bantamweights, though, we had a debuting Peter Yan versus Tarento Ishihara. We both had Yan in a decision, I believe. Maybe you had a finish?
I just called that girl Yan. Who's that Asian girl?
She was Yan as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was Yan as well.
Cards. It's like Brazilian.
But he's a Russian Yan. She's a Chinese Yan.
Okay.
Whew. Woo! Love this worldwide sports.
Yeah, and I learned so much about pronunciation.
And same with, we were calling him Peter, and it's Peter, except there's no E. It's just an R.
Peter.
I think it's Russian. I think it's harder than that.
Peter.
Yes. Oh, there you go. Something like that. So, this was a blowout, though. Round number 1, Tarento Ishihara showing that he is a gatekeeper into the UFC, not even a top 25-er. Gatekeeper to just hold a job in there. Ishihara is a name value right now. That's it. People figured him out. And it's ground and pound because he went stiff. But he was rocked a few times with a couple rights beforehand. Uppercuts, Yan just styled all over him. Definitely a prospect immediately in the 135-pound division. Ishihara holding on to a job right now.
he's just traveling with Uriah Faber and Alpha Male, and he's a big enough name to put on the cards that people like to see him. That's it. It is name value.
That's all it is now. So with Jan, going to be making some money if he's not a huge favorite in a lot of fights, because I think a lot of people also saw that flash of like, ooh, we got a contender. We got a contender on our hands. Then we went to Jin Liang defeating Dache Abe in a 3-round decision. This would actually be one of those lower fan favorite fights. It ended up being definitely a decision. Yang got hurt a couple times. So did Abe, but the harder, more strikes, and I believe 2 takedowns did go to Liang. Other than that, I think the hype train for Liang, especially after that Matthews loss and this performance, even though it was a win, I'm kind of putting him on that. People have started to really figure him out. And against a better striker that's a little more MMA diverse other than Abe, who just tended to be more of a boxer, Liang is going to be in trouble in other fights, and there could be money against him. He used to be a plus 600 favorite in some fights.
Do you think we'll ever see him, though, fight anywhere other than overseas, where maybe the testing isn't as stringent because of how famous he might be over there?
I could see that.
Like, he's kind of,
I
can
see that.
Like,
he's one of those people that only fights in.
Yeah, like how Lyoto Machida became at the end of his UFC career.
Which, by the way, Lyoto Machida signing with Bellator, late breaking here at LatB. We got the Dragon meeting his older brother, the 44-year-old, I believe. Something like that. Maybe he's 89. I don't know. Either way, they're both fighting in Bellator. Lyoto is going to get some knockouts before his fighting career is over. Good for him. He's going to get paid more money and fight lesser competition.
I kind of like, we've talked about the Bellator tournament idea, and just a little snippet out to Scott Coker. Maybe with Lyoto Machida, and if Rory McDonald's already willing to fight up anyway, and then Masasi, you could kind of throw in a couple other dudes and make a killer tournament out of that, just to put it out there. Just saying, I would love to see it, and I'd like to see how it all matched up and worked out in the end. Just saying.
And speaking of tournaments,
Michael Venom Page maybe, or Michael Chandler maybe, his contract's up and he might be kicking over this way.
It's interesting how careers have gone, and Michael Chandler's biggest fights were Will Brooks. And Eddie Alvarez, I guess. Eddie Alvarez was probably his biggest fight.
Biggest,
never mind.
Yeah, biggest.
So,
but everyone would love to see it.
I would love to see it. It's just, to me, Chandler's starting to look like he's like, woo. He's had some of his best fights already behind him, unfortunately. They've been bruisers. They've been fun ones. On to the fight card, though. We had Jessica Ai defeating Jessica Rose Clark. Battle of the Jessicas. And we had the Evil Eye glaring her evil gaze over this ways, ended up villain of the UFC herself getting a 3-round decision, and I do think that I deserve that decision. She showed where Rose Clark was walking into punches a bit more, hands down, relying on just that bruiser mentality and getting out struck by a slight margin. I'm not going to remember this fight ever, and I still don't like Jessica Ai. Good win.
In my opinion, Jessica, I picked apart Jessica Rose Clark everywhere. Yep. It was a decisive decision. I don't think, and you guys all know how I feel about Jessica. I don't even have to say it. I thought she looked good, and I thought at this division at 125, with what I've seen from other women, she can make a real run for the title here. I don't think she can get the title because the bullet will be there. But in my opinion, Jessica, I will be sitting in the Claudia Gadelha spot of the 125 for a very long time in her career. And if she keeps getting better, she might be the one showing us that ladies have a later career because they're not getting knocked out as much. So we might get to see that through the evolution of Jessica Ai. So I give her props to the win, and you're only as good as your dance partner, and she picked apart her dance partner everywhere. What'd you want? Stop hating on her. But I still don't like Jessica Ai.
Okay, I was gonna say, was there a change of heart?
And then she grabbed the mic, and I was like, I was like, wow, I'm impressed. Maybe I can be a Jessica Ai fan. Maybe I liked everything I see. She looked good in there. I liked everything I saw from her, and then she grabbed,
this is why I don't like the Evil Eye herself. So, Not remembering that fight specifically, though. I don't see a dominant contender coming out of either one of them.
I thought I had good takedowns, good forward pressure. Mm-hmm. I thought she had good head movement. I hate it, but she looked good.
On to...
And Jessica Rose Clark. Now it's like,
It should be PVZ. With a broken arm.
I want to see PVZ versus Jessica I.
PVZ's going to move up to that 125-pound division.
It was supposed to be the original 125-pound opening fight that we saw. Yeah,
and she put on 10 extra pounds, five on each breast.
She got that titty. She's going the Misha Tate route.
Hell yeah, girl.
Misha Tate route.
Dude, she's like, arm surgery? While I'm out, might as well hook it up, bruh.
Well, Misha's probably like, you don't even understand how much easier it is to get submissions if you have fucking 3 pounds of fucking breasts on either side of their neck.
Let be conspiracy. Let be conspiracy. Jordan and I here.
Misha Tate's tits. I would like that would be my question to Holly Holmes. Holly Holm. Hi, Holly. You know that fight? We all know it. One of the most spectacular, craziest switches in UFC. Did those boobies help put you to sleep?
I was thinking more let be conspiracy. You're getting some sort of solution that makes it harder, so it's like a rock and a hard place. So it's not just a chest bone. All of a sudden you have a solid object that works like a piece of bone. Exactly.
It's hard.
We got titanium titties in the UFC.
It's boom boom.
Who's checking the breasts? I'm just saying. You're checking the crotch. You're looking in the wrong places here, ladies and gentlemen.
PVC style isn't conducive to submissions. If she comes out and her new fight style is... Just saying.
If she comes out and throws a double chain hit...
Yeah.
Boom! You know it. You heard it here first.
Black eye. Black eye.
The black evil.
She got me in the eye.
So, onto the co-main event. We had a veteran over top, a young up-and-comer, Tyson Pedro, hurting OSP with the massive right hand. OSP being out for a split second, coming back, almost getting Latifi'd again in that front choke. OSP defended it, ended up getting a key lock straight armbar. He went for the Kimura and ended up bending that elbow.
I had to walk away.
It was gnarly. I ended up picking OSP on the podcast. Ended up having a good showing over the entire weekend. But it was that veteranship that came through. Tyson Pedro, he's got a good ton of hype, but there is holes in his game still. I think he's an up-and-comer to watch.
I thought Tyson Pedro looked good everywhere, and it's something that he showed at first, because when he clipped OSP, he had this good amount of patience. And then he went for that shitty submission.
Guillotine.
That was, I think, maybe just, and it's so friggin' hard to say this from my position, but I think it was just lack of ring IQ on a guy like OSP that has this crazy amount of strength. That's why he doesn't have a crazy amount of cardio. You got one or the other. So I just think it was stupid. And if he would have backed up right then and stayed standing, he would have had OSP knocked out within another 2 minutes of the fight. So it was just like he just lost. I liked everything I saw, and I still am so nerve-wracked. I can still feel better about Tyson Pedro going forward, and OSP is still going to be a guy that Fs my fight cards one way, or he's going to get knocked out or pull out the craziest, weirdest submission that no one ever sees. Get knocked out or pull out a crazy submission.
I totally agree. He has that type of factor where he does like unique ass stuff. Because how many straight arm bars have we seen in the UFC? Where it's from that Kimura to the straight bar and that elbow.
And with power where he kicked off the fence to come out straight in that
OSP has the Von Flu choke, calf slicker, and now a straight bar in his UFC career. He's a crafty guy. He's a sneaky black horse in all positive terms in the division. He definitely has been branded.
He's a black sheep in the... I mean, just not... You know,
I mean, he's been branded. I mean. Does he have double brands on both horseshoes, on both arms?
I know. I think that is, and I could be totally wrong, a fraternity thing.
I believe it is.
And I also know the T is from Texas Longhorns. Is it a Longhorns fraternity?
No, there are two horseshoes on either side, I thought.
But is it from who's... There is a fighter that has something to do with the Longhorns. Or...
The Rock.
Oh, maybe that is The Rock's tattoo.
The Rock.
Maybe that's what I'm
thinking. Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Oh, look it, I just threw it up. That Shillam.
Oh, Shillam McNeilson getting in it.
Mark of the Beast or the sign of the beast.
I don't even know.
But I do think it's from some fraternity. Omega.
He's talked about it before. So that's the highlight of that fight, definitely. Yeah,
his OSPs. And that's bummy, but I still like Tyson Pedro going forward, and I'm still tentative on OSP going forward, and it still sucks because OSP could pull out a submission on anyone in that division right now in the same respect, including the champion. And it could go just like that, where you're like, holy shit, OSP just got knocked out twice on his feet and then pulled this off. Now he's our new
There's
champion.
A reason John Jones, one of the best tacticians ever in that cage, went 5 rounds with OSP, because he said at the end of that, OSP can finish anybody at any time. Don't you ever forget that. And that's
a very good point.
That's the truth. John Jones was like, nuh-uh, you guys don't get it.
Close to him.
Watch that guy. That guy's a fucking beast. And it's true. So, the main event we go... We had a 5-rounder go all 5. There was times both of these guys, I'd say more so one than the other, would get finished. Most people saw it. 2-1 favorite Leon Edwards ended up winning 4 out of those 5 rounds easily. Donald Cerrone, what I started to really bank on, I put another free bet out there that Edwards would finish it in the first round. And the more and more I saw out there, Donald Cerrone tends to get finished in the first round whenever he has beef. Whenever he talks a lot of trash, and Edwards was doing that uncharacteristic of Edwards, he's really been coming after Cerrone, and I think that's because Edwards watches the internet. When he talks about that kind of stuff, he's starting to play these mind games as well, because he's starting to make more money than ever before and realizing opening his mouth does sell tickets.
In my opinion, when I rewatched everything, I never thought Edwards was really ever coming after Cerrone. He just made a mention to the fact, I think I'm a new breed and these older guys don't know. And Cerrone could not let go. You heard him say the word old guy 14 times just in his speech after
the fight. So he took it personally.
Yeah. I'll show these old dogs can still learn new tricks. These old dogs out there. And any other state, that fight would have been stopped because of that eye.
How many cuts do you have to have? Because first it was on the outside, then underneath, then over the top by the fifth round.
Then here, then in the eyebrow, then
over the top. Over the eye as well.
We were wondering how long the skin of his eye was going to hang on. And then Edwards kept hitting that spot.
What I loved with Edwards, and what we're really starting to see with these newer breed guys, is what we've been touting off here. Anybody who breaks with elbows out of the clinch, automatically somebody you're going to watch, because they're going to hurt everybody they ever fight.
Another thing that you made mention to beforehand that happened, is that soft body of Donald was almost found out in the first 2 minutes.
Right? And if Edwards would have kept going to that body, it could have been finished. Could have
been finished.
Yeah, that's a great point. In the first 2 minutes, Cerrone did not like that left body kick.
High on the adrenaline after the fight. This is the best! He loved it. And he's like, I don't think my stock goes anywhere. I'm the same. And
I agree.
And it doesn't. And at this point, the one cool thing about Donald Cerrone is... he's not fighting for a title anymore.
Agreed.
His ego has accepted that, and it is what it is in the octagon for a paycheck, and I think that's smart business.
Is Donald Cerrone the monster truck show of a main event? Is he the guy that you know what you're going to go watch? You know it's going to be loud and proud and right in your face, and you're going to have a good time. Whee! It's not about win or lose. Exactly.
I'm all packing up the training. I'm all head out west.
Love.
Room and coma crypt with scripts and fake breasts. Oh, look at that again.
Woo!
Fake breasts. Was he talking about Paige Van Zandt?
Another Lappy conspiracy. We can barely keep it off of our tongues. Here at Lappy.
Off our tongues.
But. Yeah. The card overall, 5 out of a 5-star rating. What are you going to give that card?
I'll give it a... I'll be fair. I'll give it a 2.8 to 3.2. So I'm going to go with 3. 3 stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't mind. Whatever. I was entertained.
I was going to say, I'll go 3.5 stars.
Whoa.
I thought the finishes were, there was a ton of unique, fun finishes. The pacing, I love. The only thing that I wouldn't give it a, the reason I'm not giving it a full five was the caliber of fighters at times weren't the best. And 4:30 in the morning, you're going to suffer from that. I suffered.
You lose one full star from that, right?
I suffered from that because I was beat. I was beat.
Even though in a weird way, when I thought it was Monday when I first woke up and then realized it was Sunday.
Oh, then it was relaxing as hell.
I was so happy. I felt like I time traveled. So can you imagine if I wasted my time travel to find out the results of UFC Singapore? That would be such a waste of time.
You better get to the
betting
cards right away.
You better be of time travel.
You better be following us on Instagram if we were following that time travel news.
Yeah,
if
make
you
sure
do
you're
it.
Following us. We're trying to really take a little bit of time and any of the bullshit gifts and stuff that we make that we put up for our videos. We just throw on there now. And since there isn't a fight coming up until like the 6th and 7th or the 5th and 6th, one of those, then we have a Friday, Saturday fight card coming up for right the Tough House and then the UFC 226, but we are off fights, I think, for this coming weekend. So instead of coming up with a gossip show, which no one seems to really care about, we're going to try a little something different because we've been bullshitting with Latby Conspiracy. So we're going to try a way to mix two worlds of fighting with a little bit of something from the world of the conspiracy, but it'll be a surprise.
So, fun news ahead. Any other last things over the weekend in the Twitterverse, in the Fightverse that we want to hit on before we leave them this Monday, more than likely, late Sunday podcast? The PFL did go down. There was a bunch of finishes. The only reason I bring that up is because Jason High had a very controversial stoppage where he never tapped and ended up pushing a ref again and actually throwing chairs.
Hmm.
Yeah, Jason High touched multiple refs now, multiple organizations. Is his career over?
I don't know. Maybe it's just building his character. I don't know anymore. It's no longer the world of fighting. It's the world of entertainment.
Entertainment. Entertaining, though, the Greg Hardy guy who just won a contract. Already out due to his AFL ties. He blew out his ACL the weekend after he got a contract in the UFC. Guarantee you the UFC's like, this is why we don't let people do other sports.
Well, you can't be, yeah. And it matters. I mean, if you're a football player, you don't necessarily want to go skiing in your off time.
Right. Same with the UFC's proven with the Harley Davidson. You win this bike in your contract. You cannot ride that bike until you're out of the UFC.
Yeah, for real. I would yeah, don't ride a motorcycle.
I think that's a great contract. But, well, do what you want, I guess. Ride a motorcycle.
All right. So, thanks for listening once again. And make sure you're following and liking and subscribing and telling your friends about Lesbo and the Bean because we love you.
Lesbo and the Bean!
Thanks for listening to Lat B. For all things Lesbo and the Bean, head over to lesboandthebean.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.